would you walk me to my car? I am going nuts. I go outside. I wish, you know how in the Wonder Years, Kevin Arnold could hear his adult voice 20 or 30 years
right,
from now,
sure.
Reflect. That's truth. That is the power that Winnie Cooper has, because I heard my adult voice reflecting on the moment inside my head.
And all he was saying was, yes, yes. That's
finally!
All he was saying.
And so we get to her car, and I really was, I'll be honest, I was disappointed it wasn't a banana seat bike. I wanted it to be a 1950s, 60s style banana seat bike. It was not. Never before have I been disappointed to see a BMW, but that's what she drives. Yeah,
not too shabby.
Yeah, so obviously those residual checks are doing well for Wonder Years. And we actually exchange phone numbers. We exchange contact information, not phone numbers, so emails.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple of email conversations throughout the course of a couple months. And here's how this would go. It would always be me starting the email conversation.
Sure.
She would respond, and then I would respond, then nothing. So it would be like, in one day, it would be me email, nothing. Me email, her email. So that pattern would continue. So it wasn't like she would ever put me off, but it was we never had a sustained conversation.
Sure, sure. She was being a very nice person. She was responding and not just ignoring you.
Right. She was, yeah. So I was like, okay, well, this is over. My dream is over of possibly being the next Mr. Winnie Cooper. And and she, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she emails me, and it's a mass email, you know, but every name's hidden, but you can tell it's mass email because it's like, hey, everyone, this is an invitation to my birthday party. And I'm like, what is going on here? How could I possibly be invited to Winnie Cooper's birthday party?
The Kinko's guy.
The Kinko's guy. Which is even funnier that you say that. And I'll get to that in just a minute. But so I didn't know how to handle this because I thought it was a mistake. I thought I wasn't supposed to be on. You know, it's pretty easy to do a mass email to the wrong crowd.
Sure.
Yeah. So I didn't know how to handle it the day of. Didn't ask for an RSVP, so I didn't feel like I had to shout out too early to her. But the day of, the morning of, I email her and say, hey, I'm looking forward to coming to your party. And she responds right away, looking forward to seeing you there. So obviously she remembers who I am. So this was not a mistake. I was supposed to be invited to this thing. Great. To add a little bit of complexity to it, and this isn't that weird to Minnesotans, but it is if you're living in Southern California. It was a boot hockey game.
Ooh.
Yeah, she rented out an ice arena and told everybody to bring their brooms and their – it's a broom ball.
Those can get pretty brutal.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially with Californians who aren't used to being on ice. But I guess every year – oh, wow. I'm getting out of hand here. When I tell this story, I can't do it without my hands, people. every year she does this. She plays broom ball. So – I show up with my broom and my duct tape ready to, like, tape up a thing. And I walk in, and it's all ages 7 to 77.
Wow.
It's Winnie Cooper's family birthday party, and I am invited.
To the family gathering?
Pretty much. There were a handful of people who had similar stories to me, actually. Like, yeah, I met Winnie at this. There was one guy who was there this particular year because – because Winnie Cooper had invited his buddy the year before, and he said – and he wasn't sure, like me, if he was supposed to be invited. So he brought his friend as a buffer. And now this year, this guy actually got the real invitation. So it was madness. It was just a surreal, odd night. And then to give a little closure to this chapter in my life, she recently got divorced.
That's unfortunate.
And it went official the day that I got engaged to my current fiancé. So that obviously it wasn't meant to be between me and Winnie, which I have no regrets about because she's hard to read. Remember that look she used to give?
Well, I imagine that, you know, if you're a celebrity, it's so you have to have that buffer area because no one will talk to you like a normal person.
No. And especially kid celebrities, because they didn't get the opportunity to be around other kids.
That socialization's a little different.
Different. It's not necessarily, I mean, obviously, like the Lindsay Lohan stories, we hear all these.
Ooh.
And they, right. But I mean, a lot of those younger, child stars don't really develop properly. But she used to, she has this look on her face. Remember that look she used to give Kevin, where you didn't know if she was going to kiss him or slap him? And that was not acting. That is who she is. Every time I talked to her, I was like, well, are you going to kiss me right
now? She's very intense.
Or do you dislike me greatly? Because I cannot read your face. So anyway, you are listening right now to Flashback Twin Cities. I'm filling in Jack Stallman, filling in for Tom Osman, who is on assignment in Chicago. And we are going to take a quick break. I'm sitting alongside James. Again, it's KLBB out of Flashback Twin Cities. Good morning, people. This is Jack Stallman filling in for Tom Osman on Flashback Twin Cities, the show that takes a look at takes a nostalgic look at local media from the past. And today, as you know, as you've been listening, I'm taking it a slightly different direction because I have a little experience in Los Angeles as well as here. So we're telling just some fun stories. The number here is 651-275-1220. Again, that's 651-275-1220. If in the last segment you want to chit-chat about anything, we're happy to do that. Again, it's Jack, and you're listening to Twin Cities Live here on KLBB, sitting alongside James. So one of the clips I came across here, I'm a big sports nut, and This clip was really kind of neat, and you know, when you look back at sports of old in this market, I feel melancholy, I feel bittersweet, I feel a lot of things, because we only have two championships to really hang our hat on.
Yeah.
We come close a lot. You know, it could be worse. Like Cleveland has it bad. I mean, their sports teams typically are toward the bottom every year and everything. And we actually we underestimate that. I think it's because we live next to, well, a lot of our listeners right now are probably Packer fans right across the river, and they have such a great history of winning.
And there might be a little bit of bitterness.
That stings a little more that we have a history of winning but not winning at all. And I stumbled across this clip from 1987. And it was fresh off the Minnesota Twins World Series championship. And there's some humorous stuff in there, especially considering just a few years ago the Metrodome roof collapsed. So they talk about the history of that actually happening before, which I didn't know it had happened before until
really?
I saw this clip. But here it is, 1987, talking about the Metrodome.
Live from Minnesota's news channel, KSTP Channel 5. Mike Binkley, Karen Falloon, and Mark Stevens bring you Eyewitness News.
More than 57,000 Minnesota Vikings fans packed the Metrodome in downtown Minneapolis today, a sellout crowd. But the Vikings aren't the only team that wants to play before Minnesota's enthusiastic crowds. Good evening, everyone. Minnesota and its Metrodome have a new reputation thanks to the World Series. Sports executives are finding they like what they see in the state, the fans, the dome, and the cities. As Pat Mylan reports, Governor Perpich is taking aggressive action now to land championship events in Minnesota.
The Gaetti, for the first time ever, the Minnesota Twins are the world champions.
This may go down as your most special memory in a sports championship, but it is doubtful that it'll be the last championship you ever see in Minnesota. Ever since the Twins won the World Series, it's become easier for sports executives to talk about selecting Minnesota as the site for a big sporting event. Paul Erickson is the director of the Minnesota Amateur Sports Association.
Once you kind of break that psychological threshold that this is a major sports center, then it makes it much easier for us to get a whole variety of sports that haven't been here before.
On the professional side of the sports coin, they are feeling the euphoria too. Minnesota is up for a Super Bowl in 1992. Winning the World Series has helped the Metrodome's chances, according to Sports Facilities Chairman Ron Gornick.
And I just believe personally that we have been identified as a facility, as a good facility, and I think it's going to be easier to talk to owners, to talk to NCAA people, to, whoever it is.
At a Monday press conference, Governor Rudy Perpich will say that Minnesota is going to seize the opportunities created by the World Series. The Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission is going to chase 20 major sporting events and try to bring them here. In amateur championships alone, the state figures there is $300 million a year to be made. The state is already chasing a bid for the Olympics, and Paul Erickson says there will be more.
We're going to have a list of the events that we've already obtained in Minnesota, and then we have even a greater list of the types of events that we're seeking, and we feel we have an excellent chance of securing because of both new facilities coming online and the World Series reputation.
And what is that reputation? Well, outsiders are telling local sports executives that they love the vocal but friendly fans, the safe cities, and the winning attitude. Pat Mylan, Channel 5, Eyewitness News.
So there you have it. We've come a long way. You know, we have all new stadiums. The Metrodome was the wave of the future, they said, in 1987, which isn't that long ago.
No.
That's how quickly these things change for folks. But anyway, we're here. It is Flashback Twin Cities. Jack Stallman filling in for Tom Osmond. I'm sitting alongside James. Flashback Twin Cities is a show that takes a look at historic news clips and of the local media. And so if you were just tuning in and you think that's a new and existing story, it's not. It's from 1987. So glad to have you alongside us this morning, this great St. Patrick's Day morning. One of my favorite days of the year, by the way. I just love it.
It's going to be a good one. I'm looking outside, not a cloud in the sky, at least here in Stillwater.
Yeah. Well, and last year, too, you know, downtown St. Paul was just magical because it was, you know, since we were just talking about sports, so it was a nice transition into this is – There was a Minnesota Wild hockey game at noon. There was the WCHA Frozen Five at 7 at night. So there were two different groups of audiences coming in. So there's 40,000 people, you got to figure, that were coming in and out of that town. It was 80 degrees, and St. Patrick's Day was on a Saturday.
Jeez.
So that combination of things made – they actually had to impromptu last year block off – West 7th. They just were like, we can't have car traffic coming through here. There's just too many bodies.
Yeah.
So between, you know, where Excel is and Tom Reed's, which is probably three blocks down, they blocked all of that off. And they thought through most of it, but not all of it. They didn't think about garbages. I mean, the place was just a heap.
Oh, geez. Trash cans just overflowing.
Right. And so what they did is they actually brought a street sweeper through, which is probably the most dangerous thing you can do around people who have been enjoying a few of the barley hops. And but they did it, and I don't think anybody got hurt, but I don't think I'll ever see St. Paul like we saw it last year, but we'll see. I'll be down there again today, so hopefully everybody else is as well. If you have anything on your mind you want to chat about, the number here is 651-275-1220. If you're on the Twitter, if you're on the tweet space, I'm at twitter.com/don'tflinchguy, and it's the same address for my Facebook as well. So give me a holler and whatnot. I do have a past of, and I wish we had a clip. Unfortunately, we couldn't find anything that we felt like we owned the rights to.
You know, it's probably better that way.
Yeah, so I did some industrial videos as part of my acting gig in, you know, back in the past. I did one for Boeing, in which I can't even talk about what the script, like contractually I can't talk about what the script said.
Sure.
I'm sure now it's outdated. It was like 10 years ago, but, you know, it was like top secret stuff we were doing. And then I did one here locally for Ameriprise. And it's interesting because now I'm a corporate speaker and I go out to these companies and occasionally I'll have somebody just be like, you look very familiar to me. And it took me a while at some of these, especially Ameriprise. I had a couple people say, you know, I think I know you. And it's because I was the bad example in their industrial video. I was typecast as the young kid who doesn't know anything about anything.
I won't lie. I would much rather be the bad example. I think that would be way more fun.
It was a riot. It was a riot to do some of these things because you basically have no rules except for don't swear.
Sure.
You know. So we had the script was pretty loose. You know about what we could do. So there was a lot of improv involved. And as a matter of fact, one of the industrial videos, there was a kid from I'm not going to remember. It was a CBS show. It was just funny. Like, I show up on the set, and there was this – he was a child star in a CBS show, and I'm like, what are you doing here? We're making, like, $300, you know, total for this whole project.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, times are what they are. So if you ever see me walking down the street and you're like, geez, that guy looks familiar.
And I feel like I don't like him for some reason.
Right.
He did something wrong.
Right. Have you seen some of these – have you ever worked at a place that made you watch – like a training video?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh. My favorite ones ever are the sexual harassment videos.
Yes.
Were you that guy?
No, I never did sexual harassment. Thank goodness. Because those live forever.
Yeah.
If you can YouTube that stuff. There's some great YouTubes out there of just really bad sexual harassment videos. So speaking of that, I have one more story that I want to share. And I think it's a good segue into Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I like the direction this is headed already. I like Schwarzenegger.
So one more story of the days of old. I was out in L.A. and my buddy was working for Arnold Schwarzenegger's campaign, and he asked me if I wanted to meet Arnold. And I said sure. Right now, keep in mind this was pre-scandal Arnold, and this was pre 12% approval rating Arnold. This was when Arnold was at his peak of being the governor. And what he was doing is he had a call center, and Arnold was going to come by for the cameras, smile, make a call. And I show up, and my buddy's like, "We got a problem." And I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Well, we need Arnold to make a call, but we want it to be controlled. We don't want him calling some crazy kook in Burbank. We need it to be a controlled call. Can he call your cell phone?" And I said, "Sure." So I step outside of this, and it's kind of like a hotel ballroom, and there's just a giant glass wall that leads out into a kind of a courtyard garden area. So I literally step out and can see Arnold dialing my phone number. I can see him dialing my phone number. And he says, "Jack, we need you to volunteer. Will you volunteer?" And I, you know, I'm not big into lying, but I was there volunteering, right?
So
yeah, I'll volunteer is what I said to him. And he puts the phone down and he goes, "Jack agreed to volunteer." And everybody at the call center just goes crazy, right? Everybody's cheering and whooping it up. And I walk back inside so that I can get a chance, you know, to kind of shake his hand and, you know, whatnot. And I don't tell him that it was me on the phone. Obviously, he didn't want to burst his bubble. But that night on the, well, what's the 11 o'clock news out there, 10 o'clock here, right? The nightly news. You see a clip of... And it goes like this. It's me and Arnold shaking hands, and smash cut to Arnold putting the phone down. "Jack agreed to volunteer." And I'm the only guy on the planet that knows. Well, now everybody knows because we stream this radio show.
You're probably breaking Arnie's heart right
He's
now.
He's probably listening somewhere, you know, probably fencing. I don't know. I imagine him fencing.
Why? Why would that? What?
Fencing and
I like the image. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, fencing and listening to KLBB. That's who you're listening to right now. We are out of Stillwater and we're having a great time. We're about to wrap this up. I really appreciate Tom Osmond letting me come in here and do this. He is on every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. This show is called Flashback Twin Cities. We take a look at old media clips from the local, a nostalgic look. That's what we decided
there we
it
go.
Was a nostalgic look at. Some clips from yesteryear, and we've had just a fantastic time doing it here. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, of course, I'm at Don't Flinch Guy at Twitter, Don't Flinch Guy on Facebook. The phone number here is 651-275-1220. James, what do we have coming up?
Coming up, we have George. He's going to be playing some music, and then I believe Aging But Dangerous at 9:30.
Excellent.
Which I do a really hokey impression of... Welcome, ladies. I like it. It's good.
Really? Aging But Dangerous, what's that about?
It's a couple of wonderful ladies come in, and they have all sorts of facts for women who are in their 50s, 60s, to live their life better.
I dig that.
It's actually pretty awesome.
I dig that
Those
show.
Those ladies are fun to work with.
All right. Well, radio audience, this is it. Have a safe St. Patrick's Day. Really have had a great time filling in here. Thanks to Tom. Thanks to James for everything you've done here.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Well, we'll see you soon.